The state legislature discusses a proposal to fix the state's data security issues. The governor's public lands policy coordinator says a lot more study needs to be done before taking over federal lands. And Salt Lake City conducts a community food assessment. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, November 15th. I'm Brian Grimmett. The State Health and Human Services Interim Committee unanimously supports draft legislation aimed at fixing problems related to the state's Medicaid data breach that left more than 800,000 Utahns' personal information vulnerable. Senator Stuart Reed's bill requires all health care providers who participate in Medicaid or the Children's Health Insurance Program to provide a notice to all patients that they may submit their personal information to the state's eligibility database. It also requires the State Department of Health to verify the providers are giving that notice before they allow them access to that database. Department of Health Director David Patton supports the bill but says it would be an added burden.
Now, I don't know that we have a mechanism to do that. It would be very difficult to do. There are over 6,000 providers that interact with Medicaid. And because of that, this is a huge undertaking.
But Reed says it's similar to the requirements providers already have to follow because of patient privacy laws.
This is no different. You'll have an additional line on that form or another form indicating that your private information may be accessed through the database.
The bill also organizes a committee of security experts to meet under the direction of the governor's office to identify and implement best practices for data security. Those best practices, along with the Department of Technology Services, would then be audited every 2 years.
Before the state of Utah can take over management of federal public lands within its borders, a lot more study will have to be done. That message was given to a legislative interim committee yesterday, along with two reports from the state's Constitutional Defense Council. Kathleen Clark, the governor's public lands policy coordinator, told the committee there's no intent to destroy or despoil Utah's most beautiful places.
The lands in the state, for me, are, it is a spiritual experience to be out there. They're wonderful. So we don't want to lose that. But I do believe that the state has a right and has a claim on these lands to develop them and to enjoy the resources that are there.
Under House Bill 148, which was passed by the legislature in its last session, the federal government is required to turn over title to public lands in Utah by the end of 2014. If it doesn't, the state can sue to get title. The report from the Constitutional Defense Council includes a proposal for a public lands interim commission that would study how Utah would manage existing mining and drilling leases, the payments that counties get in lieu of taxes, and other issues involved in a potential transfer.
Salt Lake City food banks are seeing a dramatic increase in need, and more food is going to waste, according to the results of a community food assessment city officials released today. The study, which began in 2011, evaluated the local food system, from production to table to waste, to identify barriers that keep residents from accessing healthy food and ways to prevent waste. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Mostly dry foods are stacked to the ceiling here at Hildegard Pantry in downtown Salt Lake City. Pantry director Lydia Herrera urges the public to consider donating produce, milk, and Thanksgiving turkeys.
The food bank donated some, but the numbers and the counts that I have right now, I'm up with 500 more than last year. So the turkeys that I have, I realize there's not enough.
Outlets like hers are reporting an increase in clientele by sometimes 40%. Mayor Ralph Becker says the city is rewriting local ordinances to make it easier for people to produce and sell their own food, as well as eliminate so-called food deserts, places where people might shop at 7-Eleven because there aren't walkable supermarkets.
I know in the West Capitol Hill area, for example, the owner of some property literally spent 5 years trying to encourage a grocery store to come into that area, could never get a grocery store to open. You know, we're trying to provide the infrastructure and support for more of that to happen.
The city is also interested in removing policy barriers that prevent businesses from easily donating excess food and using food waste to compost for community gardens. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Interior Secretary Ken Salazar has apologized for threatening to punch out a reporter who asked him a question about the management of wild horses. The day before the election, Salazar was making a campaign appearance on behalf of President Obama when Dave Phillips, a reporter for the Gazette of Colorado Springs, tried to ask him about a rancher who's bought hundreds of horses rounded up on public lands. The newspaper posted the exchange on its website. Phillips says he's contacted Salazar's office repeatedly for comment on the wild horse program with no response. His story on sales of wild horses to the rancher who advocates horse slaughter is on the ProPublica investigative journalism website. A new kind of electric transit bus will make its debut this week at Utah State University. It uses inductive charging pads embedded in the pavement to power the bus, allowing it to save weight by using a smaller battery pack. The wireless power system was perfected at Utah State's Energy Dynamics Laboratory. It will share profits with Wave Technologies, the spin-off company promoting the new bus system. Some car thieves break windows and tear apart steering columns, but others are neater about their work. The Deseret News reports a man and a woman allegedly removed an air conditioner from the window of a dealership in South Salt Lake. Once they got in, they found where the keys were kept and stole eight vehicles, parking them at various places. Joseph Chatwin and Shantae Stratton are now facing charges in the case. Seven of the vehicles have been recovered. And finally, a baptistry used by Provo's earliest Mormon residents has been uncovered in the foundation of a building on the old tabernacle site downtown. It was built in the 1870s. The Deseret News reports archaeologists knew it existed based on historical records. The site is being excavated as part of the construction of a new temple for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, using what's left of the tabernacle that was gutted by fire 2 years ago. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, November 15th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.